Hey, it's a local spotlight show here at WJBM Studios in Jerseyville, Illinois, the voice of the Tri-Counties. Chris Lorton, I'm your host today, and with me, special guest, Jake Loff. Welcome, Jake.
Yes, Chris, thank you. Back by popular demand.
That's right.
Sure. Yeah.
And it's been about almost 6 months since you've been here in studio.
Yeah, it's been a long six.
Yeah.
Long six. Yeah, I made it through the winter, and now I'm the groundhog saw a shadow, and I'm out.
Hey, if you're listeners, we recorded this on April 2nd, and I think it's going to air a week later. So if you're hearing it, we're going to talk about some stuff. Some of it may be, you know, maybe irrelevant by the time we get done. But coming out of Jake, no, it shouldn't be irrelevant.
Yeah, we'll see. I think the expiration date on many of my takes is usually about 2 or 3 weeks. So as long as we can get it out before then.
So what have you been up to last 6 months?
Oh, well, you know, it's been kind of slow in the business. You know, I work in the political business.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Of course.
So,
I take it for granted people know. You know, you're my inside man from Washington, D.C.
Yeah, the listeners probably know this by now, but I work in political advertising.
And, that's right.
And I deal with a lot of politicians and different characters.
And you spent some years in D.C.
Yeah, yeah.
And now you're in St. Louis.
Yeah, it's 7 long years in the swamp. It was a lot of fun. Cut my teeth on some interesting projects, and now I've made it on my own in the city of St. Louis.
That's right.
You know, it's good to be back. Could be in a slower pace in the Midwest. Access to a lot of different things. The last six months has been not really a whole lot going on. It was a slow time in politics. The year after there was an election year 2 years ago, it was presidential election year. So the year after that is kind of slow. But now we're coming up into the midterms. So I'm working on a few new projects, picking up some text messaging projects. It's kind of a new thing I've been working on, mass text messaging. So
mass
listeners in Jerseyville, if you need to annoy anybody, yeah, I'm the guy.
I do that on my phone? You know, like
if you got time, yeah, you could put in 100,000 numbers in your phone, yeah, yeah. You know, if you could hire like a warehouse, where's Michael at?
So what are you messaging?
So it's like, you know, sometimes it's like, vote for me, I'm running for office. A lot of times it's, don't vote for the other guy. He is going to ruin this city. Oh, yeah, that's what we talked about last time, was the election in New York City. And you're like, what do you think is going to happen? I'm like, well, I think Zohran's going to win, and I want to see the city fall. hasn't fallen yet. He actually is doing all right, I guess. But it's a tough bar, kind of a low bar in that city.
Yeah.
But yeah, okay. So anyway,
you done any traveling?
Yeah, yeah. I've been. So listeners, one thing about me is I'm never at home for more than a couple weeks. It's part of the East Coast. This is the East Coast thing. People on the East Coast travel a lot. Whenever I was living in D.C., I would take the train to New York, or I would go to like Philadelphia or like wherever over a weekend.
For just a weekend out?
Yeah, just have lunch or just go whatever. You know, it's just like right there. You know, it's just a couple hours. So I just got into traveling. So I do that all the time now. I just got back. I was on a long trip in Texas. I went to South Padre Island.
By train?
By train. Oh my gosh. Man.
So are you doing any car road trips, or is this all flying?
I usually fly.
Okay.
But I took a train to New Orleans last year. It was a lot of fun. That was 12 hours.
Yeah.
But I, you know, I'm not going to. South Padre Island's like Mexico.
Yeah. How was it?
It was great. Yeah, it was a fun time. I was there for a bachelor party. You know, what's interesting is like, you go to a place like that, like some of these beach towns that are like not totally high end. I just thought it was kind of like Gulf Shores a little bit. It was like South Padre was like Gulf Shores, Alabama, but it was more Hispanic than it was Alabama, you know? Mm-hmm. But it wasn't like a big like ordeal, like going to like Miami or something. You know, it was kind of a fun beach town.
Yeah.
And then I went to Las Vegas after that. That was fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Michael and I went to Vegas back a year ago, actually. You know, we went to a broadcasting convention there. And that's how you noticed. Did you notice the big, beautiful sign that I got up on the pawn shop?
Yeah, big, beautiful sign on the pawn shop. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
We discovered that, you know, video signage at a broadcasting convention. And was really Vegas. Have you noticed how many video signs are in Vegas?
Yeah, you're in the right place for video signs.
Oh my god, they're all over the place.
Yeah, I don't think we've got the. How big? You know how big those signs are? Like, would you say how many
those
feet?
Hotels?
Yeah, how many feet is yours? Like yours would be
well,
would be hidden.
Mine's like tiny. Mine's like a postage stamp.
You're like running like the. Yours is like the Casino Royale sign next to the Bellagio.
I mean, those signs are like 50 feet. I don't know, maybe like 50 feet wide and. Yeah, 80 feet tall.
It's so
they're
hard
crazy.
To tell how big anything is in that city. It's impossible to know.
Yeah,
but no. That's I've seen the sign. The sign is great. That's cool. We need more of that in Jerseyville. I think I've always said there's kind of an issue with signage in Jerseyville. I remember what it was. It was ATV repair shop or something years ago that didn't have a sign out in front of it. I didn't know what it was. So I was like, it just says open. Like, well. What do they sell?
Yeah. Hey, going on to another subject, how about the presidential debate? Did you watch that? Or not the debate, the address.
The primetime address?
Primetime address was actually on the first, I believe.
Yeah, the first, April 1st, April Fool's Day primetime address.
Right.
Nothing was funny about it. It wasn't. but... You know, the gravity of the primetime presidential address is kind of lost this day and age because the president has been so open to the media anyway. Just, you know, pretty much all presidents are, really. Yeah. Like, just because,
especially
like...
Especially Trump.
Yeah, just like the internet and everything. It's like you have access to what's going on all the time, which is kind of a bad thing for society. Like, you look at what a circus, like, the 24-hour news cycle has
True.
Become. But it's interesting to see the man, you know, they block off all television programming. They're like, president is on. Let's watch him. You know, what are we watching? Franklin Roosevelt?
But think about it. There's maybe some people that, you know, they're not into it. You know, they're not paying attention. They're just doing their
right.
And they do get educated, you know, like what's going on. They hear the address, you know, and so they get up to date.
Yeah. Newsy people like us really try to take it for granted. Like there's people out here that like don't care about that aren't on X or Facebook and like have like jobs and families and churches and stuff to instead we're crazy people and watch the news all the time, right? I wish
we're in the media business.
I hate
here.
The media business.
you hate it.
Oh, it's ruining. It's just but it's a great place to be. It's so much fun. You know, it's like some people do need the president to interrupt their episode of the Big Bang Theory. You know,
it's good for them.
But you know, so we didn't learn a whole lot from it because we knew what's going on. Like, you know, we're in Iran where we got the Strait of Hormuz. We've got Israel like involved.
Yeah,
like we know it. These people that a lot of people don't that never heard of this stuff before are learning about it from the first time for the president. But it wasn't that big of a deal. Like we didn't learn a whole lot of new info. We're winning the war, if you can call it that, so-called war. We're winning that. Most people don't care. It's been a really popular, like the concept of war in Iran has been a fairly popular position since the 1970s. Like the reason that we elected Reagan was because they wanted to take Iran out because Jimmy Carter was so weak on the. On the issue.
On the hostage
issue. Right, the issue. Right. Yeah, the hostages issue. And so this isn't new. And there's like hours and hours of footage of Trump giving speeches in the 80s and 90s talking about how he's like, I'd bomb the hell out of Iran the second I get in there. He's talking about this island that, like, I don't remember the name of the island, but this island that they're all working on by the Strait of Hormuz that's got it all on there. Whatever that is. Trump knew about that in the 80s. We're all of a sudden on the internet. We're foreign policy experts. Like, I don't know anything about this strait. I don't know anything about this island. I know that we're winning. I believe that we're winning. And but anybody really cares about is like the price of gas. It's like out of control.
it is pretty high. It is pretty high. But hopefully.
You know,
we get this behind us, we'll go back down.
I just paid, I got gas on the way here. It costs, in Missouri, which is cheaper than Illinois. You
How much is gas in Illinois? I mean, Missouri.
So I just filled up with premium. So I'm a little out of touch. You know, premium gas for a premium guy. And it was $4.57, I think.
In Missouri?
In Missouri, yeah. Whoa. So it's, imagine Illinois is out of control. And when I lived in Washington, though, was the last time gas was really expensive. And it was, I could pay $7 a gallon for it if I was really trying.
Wow.
For premium.
Hey, if you're just joining us, I got Jake Loft, my inside man on what's going on in politics, D.C., et cetera. He's got the J. Loft Company, and he's a political advertiser for politicians.
Yeah, and politicians.
Didn't I hear you say John Bolton was one of your?
One of my.
How'd that happen?
So there was a little turnover in the Republican Party a few years ago, and Trump. Went out to get everybody that was out to get him, and Bolton was on his hit list, and so.
So you get it.
So I just cleaned it up. Like everybody was out on Bolton. They're like, you know who would take him? Jake Loft would take him, and he's mine now. Me and the ambassador Bolton. He's having a good week, really a good month. He's been on this Iran war thing for. Since the beginning, an original Iran war supporter. Now here he is. Him and Lindsey Graham are doing a victory lap. Yeah, but that's me and Bolton. Yeah, hooked up together. What's funny about that actually is in 2013, I met him at a fundraiser, and I have a photo of me and him that's been on my fridge like since then.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And so whenever
it was meant to be. Wasn't
that's
it?
What I told him. So I met him the first time. They told me they were like. He's not going to think you're very funny. He's not like a joke guy. Call Mr. Ambassador. I'm like, don't worry about it. I got something to say to him. So I went up to him, and I was like, pulled up my phone to show him the picture. I was like, Mr. Ambassador, I got something cool I'm going to show you. And I was like, so in 2013, I was at this fundraiser with you in Jefferson City, Missouri. He's like, look at this. And he's like, wow, it was cool. Then he showed me all this fun stuff. I really broke the guy down.
Okay.
Iran's good. Been trying to get at this guy for years. All you really needed to do is show up a photo of you and him on your fridge, and he'll show you everything you want. He holds up the pen. He's like, this is the pen that we took away the Iran nuclear deal with. I'm like, wow, crazy stuff, John. Thanks for the tour.
So other than let's get away from politics a little bit.
All right,
and so. I hear you're a bowler. I didn't realize that. We were just talking a little bit that you're like this extreme bowler.
Extreme, yeah.
And you're in a league or two leagues. Or...
Yeah, I do extreme bowling. You know, I go out and like water ski and like bowl at the same time. You know. Yeah, I've been in a bowling league since 2005. I was 10 years old.
Yeah.
So what if I've been bowling for? 21 years almost.
So what's the key to being a great bowler? Good shoes.
Yeah, shoes. Yeah, it's got
slippery fingers.
You know,
can you have too fat of fingers that you can't bowl, or can you?
No, not if you've got a good guy to drill. You know, if you got the right driller, they can fit anything.
Have you ever did any strike? Where you knock them all down? What do you call that?
A strike.
Yeah,
I've got many. Yeah,
you have.
Yeah,
got many?
Yeah. I think I got. Oh. Let's see. 2 days ago, I think I got like 20.
Oh, what I meant to ask is, have you ever bowled a 300?
A perfect game? No.
You haven't?
No.
That surprises me.
Yeah, I don't have it in me.
What's the highest you ever bowled?
I've shot many 270 games. Shot a lot of 270, 279, 278, like a lot of stuff in there, which I think is like the way you get to that is like... So a perfect game would be 12 strikes in a row. Mm-hmm. I think to get into the 270s, you get into not 10, 9 or 10, and it depends. You do something in the 10th frame, uh-huh. But you pretty much all strikes.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. That's great. I love bowling. I bowled in Jerseyville from fifth grade and all the way through high school. My mom was on a bowling team, so that's how I would hang out at the bowling alley all the time.
I got you.
And... I bowled in the high school team. In my junior yearbook, there's a full page photo of me bowling, like in progress, like they set the camera up at the end of the lane.
And you were that great of a bowler in high school, huh?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I wasn't the best on the team, but I was
most photogenic bowler.
I guess most willing to take photos. I mean, you know, bowlers are not always the most outgoing types.
True.
You know, it's not often you find a bowler who wants to be in the spotlight. But here I am. Now I'm on the radio.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, I love bowling. Bowling is great. I think everybody should do it. There's a famous book called Bowling Alone that it was required reading, like political science classes and stuff. And it's about how society has like collapsed because there's no like group activities anymore.
Uh-huh.
So there's not like you're bowling. There's no bowling leagues. You don't go to play bridge club or whatever. You're bowling alone, right? You're doing everything by ourselves. And this is in the 90s. This is before it was actually like a real problem because of social media. And
I believe it.
So I'm just like trying to do my best to... Okay. Not bowl alone.
Here's a good question for you. How many times have you watched The Big Lebowski?
I love The Big Lebowski.
How many times? What do you think?
Dozens. Like I reference it all the time. Like you're out of your element. You're out of your element, Donnie. You know, we didn't go to Baghdad or what is this? What does he say? This isn't Vietnam. This is bowling. There are rules. Yeah, I love that movie. John Goodman, like the best supporting actor
from
of all
St.
time.
Louis.
St. Louis's own. Yeah, totally. St. Louis is a bowling city. Always has been.
Yeah.
Bowling and soccer.
Do they still have the Bowling Hall of Fame there?
I think they moved it to Ohio or something. But remember, it was by Old Bush Stadium. You go out right up by you go park over by Mike yep. Shannon's and like that area. There's the Bowling Hall of Fame.
How about baseball? What are the Cardinals? What are they going to be like this year? You think they could?
Man, the Cardinals are tough. tough team. I'm pleasantly surprised at the way the last week has turned out. Like we have no pitching, so like, as long as we can keep this jig up for a while, we'll be all right. It seems like the hitting is okay, but no pitching. Their bullpen is out. You know,
how about cameras? Are they doing the cameras now?
The automatic ball and strike system.
Yeah.
They're doing it.
What's your opinion on that?
Gosh, I'm such.
But you are a little opinionated.
I'm such a baseball homer. Like I hate when they do all the rules. Like the, you know, the last few years they've added the pitch clock. They've changed the size of the bases. They've limited the amount of times you can pick off somebody at first base. Now they've got this challenge system with the ABS, automatic balls and strikes. It hasn't been as much of a disaster as I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
There are times in baseball when people get really mad about stuff. You know, they get thrown out of games. But, like, you know, there was a few years ago the umpires were, like, checking pitchers' hands and, like, making them unbuckle their belts and stuff.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Remember that? Like, that was stupid. And like,
or they'd have, like, something, like, some grease or something.
Yeah,
on
they're all over this, like, sunscreen thing.
Yeah.
Like, that got people upset and mad. And, like, that was, like, a joke. Now, like, ABS hasn't yet because the umpires are so bad. So now we're just kind of all like dunking on the umpires a lot because they keep getting their calls overturned. But I would hate it. I hate to see it expand.
What are they doing it for? Speed the games up?
That's actually a good question. Is like, what are they doing it for?
What's the point?
You know, because they all want to be.
Can't find referees? Good referees?
They're tired. They can't take the heat, I think is what it is. It's like,
who can't take the heat?
The league. Like they get mad. Like whenever people get so upset about blown calls and stuff, and then they trash the league, and they're like, these guys are so backwards. Why don't they put computers in and get rid of all these umpires that blow games and stuff? But that's just part of that's just part of the romantic aspect of the game is. Being able to butter up an umpire and have him like expand the zone when you need him to, and like that's part of baseball. I think that's a lot of fun. It's like when they get rid of sign stealing, when they did the calm pitch calm, right?
Yeah.
Like that was my least favorite. One of my least favorite reforms was the pitch calm. I've gotten over like the pitch clock and all that because the one thing the pitch clock has done for me.
Well, explain what the pitch calm is for people that don't know.
Oh, the clock or the calm?
Both.
So the pitch com was in response to the Astros stealing signs during the World Series.
Yeah.
And so now they have like a walkie-talkie that like a computer reads, throw a fastball inside to in their ear, and the catcher has a remote control. And it's dumb. And, but we've all gotten over that. Now we've moved on to something worse with the ABS system. But the pitch clock, though, was designed to get pitchers to not walk around the mound as much and, like, you know, take as much time. Like the Mad Hungarian, remember Auerbach? Right. We can go around and... but, you know, it didn't affect anything, but it made the games a lot more short. A lot shorter because it made batters don't change their pitching, their gloves every time after every pitch. Right. Skip Schumacher, one of those guys. And, but the good thing that I like about it, to sum up my baseball, I could do baseball all day, Chris. to sum up my position on the reforms of baseball, the only good thing that's come out of the pitch clock is that whenever I go to the daytime Wednesday baseball games, I love to go to the Businessman Special, they call that.
Yeah.
On Wednesdays at noon.
What happens there? Oh, just it's a good price.
Because if you have no... Yeah, it's a good price. There's nobody there because it's for people that can get away during the day. Uh-huh. And but now the pitch clock has made the game so short, I get out there at noon. I'm home before like 2:45.
Wow.
It's great. Yeah. Businessman Special, yeah. Yeah.
Love it. Love it.
Yeah.
Well, what else? Well, you know what? We are... getting close to running out of time here. Anything you want to end this video or this interview on?
You know, I like to give a little parting wisdom on so I've been making wine actually lately.
Oh,
so,
you know what? I don't know if we've got enough time.
You don't have time to talk about the wine?
We'll tell you what, we'll extend this and we'll do another episode because we've got a few other things we need to talk about. I don't get you here that often.
I know. I should. I should come on more often.
Ladies and gentlemen, next episode, Jake's going to get into how you make great wine.
Tune in next time. We'll go to...
how he became a wino.
Coming up on the next episode of Jake and Chris in the morning.
All right. Well, I'll see you later, buddy. We're off. See ya.